Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what happened. Things are...
All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Scott Shingledecker, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And Don Couch, how are you?
Groovy. We do have an email from Monday morning. It says, hello, my friends, and happy Super Bowl Sunday to you all. Did you see the article where Williams said the UAW was unprepared for the attack on social media? The UAW show can take a lion's share of the credit for talking about the issues that concerns the workers, and there are Facebook pages that also help to educate the people and share ideas. Good job, guys. But I don't think you will be invited to dine with Williams anytime soon. Look for more pushback on the Facebook pages about this show and people that don't go along with the IUAW. I learned this much in the last few years. The more you sell your membership out, the better chance you have coming to Detroit. Keep up the fine work, and I will be listening tonight, Monday morning. Thank you, Monday morning. And we'll just file that right in my receptacle. All right. Hello.
Yeah.
We got a lot of people in the suite. Board already, a lot of people, so I don't know if they tell you, but if you push 1 on your keypad, you will get right on, okay? 1, you got to push 1. Wow, we got a lot of people for Super Bowl Sunday. All right, we got 2. I know this is Jeff. Jeff Brown is here. And this is Leroy.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks for having me on the show. It's always an honor to be here, and we appreciate Don getting us on here and having this show on Super Bowl Sunday. How about that? It's nice.
Absolutely. We have Jeff, and man, we got the gang. We got the whole gang. We got a whole slew of people in the switchboard. So, like I said, if you push 1 on your keypad, we'll get you on. And if you have a comment or question, please do that. So go ahead, Scotty.
Well, hello, Jeff. Hello, Leroy.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, Scott. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Leroy. Are you rooting for anybody in particular on the Super Bowl, Jeff?
Me? No, not this year. I have a problem with the NFL as a league because they do not pay taxes. So I kind of boycott the Super Bowl.
Gotcha. How about you, Leroy? Do you have anybody in particular you're rooting for?
I don't have a real preference. You know, I think probably Denver's going to win because they practice at a high altitude and that gives them an advantage in Denver and at sea level. So that's where I think they're probably winning.
Playing in San Francisco,
right.
I believe.
At sea level. Yeah. They'll have an oxygen advantage there as well.
So. I'm from Denver because I like old men at 39 years old, still playing football at a pretty good level, high level, and I appreciate that. Go Peyton Manning. Okay.
There you go.
Is this like Alabama? Is this like the Alabama call there, Don? I mean, Alabama, now you're going to go with Denver.
Got to go with
Denver.
Well,
you were correct the last time, and you beat my team, so, I mean, so whatever.
Yeah.
All right,
made
Scott, you want to take it away there, Scott? You got a couple things on
yeah.
the agenda?
Yes, yes. Before we get started, I forgot to talk about this, but this last week we lost a union brother down at the Defiance plant, a GM Defiance plant. He was had died in a workplace incident at the Defiance Foundry Tuesday. His name was Terry Bodenbender. He was 50 years old, and he fell fatally at 1:02 p.m. on Tuesday. So our thoughts and prayers are with the family and the friends of our
Absolutely.
Fallen brother. And I wanted to put that out there. They are
Thank
investigating
you.
This. There's open investigation from OSHA is involved in this, so I'm sure there'll be more about this later.
Right.
By the way, hello to the research department. Can't forget about that.
Absolutely.
They say go Broncos. So
there you go. Research
department. real quick, I got something to read here real quick. This was put out this last week, February 3rd, 2016. Dear UAW GM team members, your contributions and commitment during the past year helped GM achieve excellent business results for 2015. As a team, we launched many vehicles, including the all-new Chevrolet Camaro and Malibu, and diesel versions of the Chevrolet Colorado and GMC Canyon. Through our combined efforts, GM earned many awards, including the repeat performance of the Colorado as Motor Trend's Truck of the Year. Four of our vehicles also topped their agreements with the J.D. Power Initial Quality Study. We were also recognized as Ward's Auto for the 3.6-liter engine in the Camaro and the Voltec propulsion systems for the Chevrolet Volt as winners of the Ward's 10 Best Engines. Based on the success of our vehicles in the marketplace and overwhelming customer demand, you've helped exceed production goals for many products, such as the Colorado Canyon and the full-size SUV. In addition, you laid the foundation for the launch of the exciting new Cadillac CT6. Your hard work paid off. In recognition of your contribution to GM's financial performance in 2015, we are pleased to announce that the eligible UAW GM team members will receive a maximum profit sharing payout of $11,000. This payment reflects your efforts in helping us deliver strong performance during the year and reinforces the importance that all team members share in GM's success. The payments will be made on February 26th in accordance with the UAW GM National Agreement. Congratulations for your contributions to GM's strong performance in 2015. We can now set our sights on making 2016 even better. Your continued support and focus on executing the global manufacturing systems will help us alleviate our products above our competitors' vehicles. Let's raise the bar and challenge ourselves to deliver the highest quality vehicles and parts for our customers, to be relentless in our focus to eliminate waste and achieve benchmark levels of productivity. We know this is a team that can meet the challenge. Thank you for a job well done. Let's work together towards an even greater success in 2016. Signed, Cindy Estrada and Kathy Clegg. Well, again, I'm taken back that Ms. Estrada is not aware of what paragraph 8 has to say. We are not a team. This is a team effort. Furthermore, I think it's an insult to the brothers and sisters who work that line, the people that are in quality, the people in paint, the people who are in material. I guess an insult to us, because we're the ones that make this happen, not them. I'm sorry. Let's take it back where it needs to belong. But for Sister Estrada, who seems to fail this, and I have pointed this out to Cindy Estrada in the past, and evidently she's forgotten. So I will read paragraph 8 here. The right to hire, promote, discharge, or discipline for cause, and to maintain discipline and efficiency of employees is the sole responsibility of the corporation, except that the union members shall not be discriminated against as such. In addition, the products to be manufactured, the locations of the plant, the schedules of production, the methods, processes, and means of manufacturing are solely and exclusively the responsibility of the corporation. I can ask you real quick, did you hear your name mentioned in there anywhere?
I didn't hear any team. I didn't hear anything about the work. No,
okay.
I didn't hear nothing like that.
I didn't hear my name in there, and I didn't see Cindy Estrada's name in there. I didn't see IUAW in there.
No.
The only thing it says that you and I as union members, and Leroy and Jeff, that we wouldn't be discriminated against for being members. But the rest of this says very clearly, this isn't a team effort. This isn't for the UAW or General Motors. They said this is General Motors, solely and exclusively the right of the corporation. So, Sister Estrada, I need you to really pay attention and go back and read paragraph 8, because we're starting to get very upset that you are insulting our intelligence and our integrity as the line workers who make all this wealth of the corporation. So, with that being said, 25% of this profit was earned off the backs of temporary workers this last year at a very reduced wage.
Amen.
They said that the maximum profit sharing payout of $11,000, that's not the maximum. The maximum is $12,000. I do believe what they meant in this article or this statement is that is the maximum payout for this year. I believe that's what they meant. I can't speak for the two ladies, but I can only imagine that's what they meant. That, and Leroy and I had a little discussion about that, too. There was some money that was left off the table. I think we could have, not to be greedy, but I think we could have hit the maximum easily.
Right.
Well, certainly, Scott, there was $4 billion that they added to their stock buyback program. They had it scheduled for $5 billion, and they added $4 billion after the contracts were completed. This is the General Motors, not the Ford and Chrysler elements, but the General Motors, and certainly that money would seem to be available for negotiation. And if we did such a good job, why couldn't they just bring everybody up to parity? Everybody. I mean, all the temporaries, put a pathway to parity, and all of the tier twos, immediate parity. They could have done that. With half, less, with $1.6 billion at the max, they could have brought everybody to parity. Plus, there was money left over to take care of the retirees for all 4 years, to give the clawback some of this money that they've taken away from the retirees. So this was such a good job. They didn't give us all that was available. That's a little bit discouraging. And this paragraph 8, I know she's not ever worked in a Detroit 3 factory, Cindy Estrada.
No.
Okay.
No.
But here's the thing. This paragraph 8 is what's called a property rights clause. And they're in every agreement, because this goes back to old English common law, where they had a property right in their business, all the managers and owners of these companies. And whenever they wrote an agreement, they always had a property rights clause in it. And we've had that in our agreement since day one, effectively. So this is not something that's new. It shouldn't be new to her, even though paragraph 8 is obviously foreign to her, because she's never worked in a Detroit 3 plant, let alone General Motors. So it's good that you remind her
of what she's trying to administer there, Scott. I mean, I get a little wound up at some of these people that come in and they're just, you know, all flash and no substance to them. Yeah, let's go out here and grandstand with the company's representative and forget about what we really could have got the membership, $4 extra billion. And I think the size of the pie was up to Dennis Williams. At least that's what he says. Size of the pie is what's up to him. And he missed that boat by $4 billion. So it's just horrible what the current leadership is doing to us. So, but, you know, I want to touch on some leaders of the past. Change the subject just a little bit. Leaders, UAW leaders of the past. And I would be remiss, and the show would be remiss, if we didn't mention that February is Black History Month. And while our nation is steeped in rich black history, African-American history, if you will, notwithstanding everything that Martin Luther King Jr. did and all of his supporters and friends and everybody that he worked with. But having said that, the UAW is not without its own complement of rich history for Black History Month in the name of some African Americans. I would like to go through just a few of them. I think I have about five names here that I'll give you a little brief history on. Some of them you're going to know and some of them you're not going to know. And just by way of doing diligence to Black History Month, we have a large complement of African Americans in our plants, and it would just simply be unfair not to mention these people who stood out in the ranks. First of all, Reuben Burks, somebody that I worked for at one time. Reuben was appointed international staff rep 1970 by Walter Reuther. In 1989, he began as Region 1C director for three terms. And in 1998, he served as treasurer of the International UAW until 2002, that four-year term there. Reuben Burks is an African-American standout in our union. He's been, as all of these people I mentioned, all of these folks, also, I don't want to go into all of their history here, but I want to get the top parts, because Reuben was the top office holder, African-American office holder of all time since the inception of UAW as treasurer, international treasurer. But he and all the rest of these folks were also on many, many committees and boards and directors and university boards. Reuben was on the Urban Affairs. He was a director at Baker College. A number of things. I don't want to get into all of them because they're just really for this show tonight, as an abbreviated show especially. But I do want to recognize. And the next UAW brother, this is Nelson Jack Edwards. He was the first African American member elected to the International Executive Board and served there from 1970 to 1974. Mark Stepp, he was the, from 1974 to 1989, he was the UAW Vice President of Chrysler Division for the International Executive Board. Ben Gross, he was the UAW Assistant Director for Civil Rights from 1971 till 1986, and their latter dates are typically when they retired from office. Many of these folks went back in to the community and did more work on boards and commissions to try and make things make a better world. In particular, Ben Gross also was part. I lived in a city by the name of Milpitas in California. He was on the city council there and city mayor in 66 and 68. And this is a city, when he was elected, it was 94% white. So this is a man, an African-American man, that was able to govern a city that was 94% white. That's just an amazing tribute to him. And the last person, Sister Lillian Hatcher. She was the first African-American woman appointed to an international rep position, and she served in the newly formed Women's Bureau. She was a delegate. This is another tribute to her. She was a delegate to the 1961 and 1962 Michigan Constitutional Convention, where she helped to form the Michigan Civil Rights Commission. And everybody that's ever had a racial problem has benefited by her work in doing that. So those are five standouts. I want to go over the names again. Reuben Burke, Nelson Jack Edwards, Mark Stepp, Ben Gross, and Lillian Hatcher. We'd like to remember those in the show this evening, those standout African-Americans that have had a rich history before all this nonsense has gone on of standing up for what's right for working men and women in all of all races, but in particular the African-American race. So thanks to all of them, and I hope if you're still with us, some of them aren't, that Godspeed and God keep you if you're not. So thank you for all of those work. Scott, do you have anything else?
Yeah, you were kind of breaking up there a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I breaking up?
Oh, that's okay. I just want to let you...
Yeah, I don't know.
A little bit, but...
He wasn't on my end, so he was all right. As long as it goes
okay.
through my end, he's fine.
You're breaking
you.
Up
Thank
now.
Why, well, it's your phone.
Okay, it's my phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
We lost.
That's cool.
We
okay.
dropped.
Can you hear?
Yeah. So we know Scott and I dropped two calls earlier, so there must be some issue with the phone here. So.
All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming in fine. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. In the January-February issue of Solidarity Magazine, there was an article from our president, and the title of that article is Looking Ahead to the Challenges of 2016. And I quote Dennis Williams, president, United Auto Workers. Our union and our bargaining rights and our jobs, our wages, and benefits have and will be under attack by right-wing politicians and the corporate interests who bankroll them. End quote. This is from this article. Again, I feel insulted to stop and think that somebody who leads this great once was a great labor organization, in my opinion, would come out and say something like this in light of what has just happened with the Detroit 3 contracts, the negotiations. The language around these contracts at Ford with living agreement, changes to their health care, their pensions, changes at General Motors with our pensions and our health care and also with Chrysler. The things that we hold near and dear, everything around us in these contracts. And then to have the gall to come out and want to attack, I don't care if it was a left wing or right wing, to attack any politician on this in corporate interests and say it's their fault. When you fail to stand up and represent your membership to the full ability, okay, this isn't an opinion piece. We can look at this, and there's plenty of people out in the business sector who couldn't believe the deals that the corporations got coming out of negotiations. Okay, so I'm just saying I found that to be insulting that Mr. Williams would say such a thing. Further, in this article, it says, the record on the 114th Congress isn't one that contains a lot of victories for working Americans. Without President Obama's veto pen, it could have been much worse. There are lawmakers who don't understand or don't care that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will destroy decent-paying jobs in this country, even worse than NAFTA did. There are politicians who are blind to problems that low-wage, part-time jobs are not good jobs, and just because people are employed doesn't mean they are not living in poverty. We need elected officials to understand these jobs hurt workers in our nation. So, for Mr. Hypocritical Dennis Williams, who now has just spoke out of both sides of his mouth, in light of what has happened with our contract, to come out and say something about this. Well, understand something, Mr. Williams. It was President Obama who pushed the TPP, okay? And yes, there was people on both sides of the House that supported the TPP. It was, if I remember right, there were a few Democrats who were holding out, and they got talked to. I don't know what they were offered, what was said in those conversations, but I believe 14 of them come back. Well, 12 of them were Democrats, 2 Republicans. They came back and they changed their mind. But it's funny he should talk about the politicians who are blind to the problems of low-wage, part-time jobs, not good jobs, because people are employed doesn't mean they're not living in poverty. We need elected officials to understand these jobs hurt workers in our nation. I absolutely agree with that. That's why we need to start electing our president and our vice president at Solidarity House. I couldn't agree with you more. And I couldn't agree with you more about the people who are part-time jobs and not good jobs. And just because people are employed doesn't mean they're not living in poverty. Then, Mr. Williams, I ask you, I beg you, please answer us. And why did you allow permanent temporaries in our contracts? Why are you allowing people to start out at $15 an hour? Why are you allowing people and brothers and sisters to get hired and start out at $13 an hour and next year? I think it's safe to say that we demand an answer from the leadership at Solidarity House, who wants to sit there and talk about things in magazines and in articles and in press, but doesn't want to answer the questions to the membership about such things. And that, you know, it gets me pretty upset. And then when you get towards the end of this, he talks about the UAW National Community Action Program, CAP. It exists to make sure that what is won at the bargaining table is not taken away in Washington or the state capitals. Well, it's awful funny he's talked about that because Mr. Williams, unless I'm mistaken, wasn't VCAP just basically outlawed for you? Just a question to think about. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know if Jeff or Leroy got something to say about that. But
yeah, we haven't heard from Jeff. Let's bring Jeff in. He's part of the show. And Jeff, what do you got going on?
I haven't received a copy of Solidarity magazine in over a year and a half. For what reason, I don't know. I don't care. I never believed the word in it anyway, so I think that's right. You know, Mr. Williams better remember his predecessor supported TPP and the Korean trade pact.
That's right.
For whatever reason. And he was the only union leader in the world to support these two agreements. That's not what union is supposed to be about. It's a bad deal all the way around. Peru, just this weekend, had a major protest over the TPP. There were some videos on Facebook over it.
I did
see that on my Facebook page. So nobody likes this thing except for the 1%ers and Wall Street.
That's right.
I disagree with everything that the union leaders, not just in the UAW, but it seems I have pissed off the Teamsters Union as well over their pension cuts. So, you know, let them come and get me. I've been getting people mad at me for years. I'm used to it. I don't care. Come and get me.
No, back down.
No, you don't
back. I know that.
No.
That's a fact.
You know, the Teamsters are having a meeting here this week at Wayne State University. It's actually run by the government to try to answer some of the pensioners' pensions. My uncle is a medically retired Teamster member. He now has Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. And, you know, he's going to have 60% of his pension cut. That's from the union. Papa's doing this. That's sad. That he, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and then even last week. But, you know, I posted that on workers, workstations, and unions about the Papa wanting to change how elections are done. And I put it on my Twitter page, picture for the poster. And within minutes, I get an alert on my cell phone saying, Teamsters are now following me. Let them come.
Yeah,
I've got nothing to hide.
I've read that they are following you now. That's good. Let them follow.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll look something.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm sure they're enjoying the support that you're giving them, Jeff. You know?
Well, I don't support too many things. So,
60%. That's incredible. But that's where I think that's where we're all going to be if we don't stand up and fight.
Exactly.
Exactly, Jeff. Yeah, that's good information, Jeff. I agree 100% with what you said. Yeah.
You know, we see all these protests around the world over austerity, quit pensions, the TPT, and yet the American public are like blind sheep. They are just sitting there taking all this. What the hell happened? 200 years ago, or 250 years ago, they were fighting over the tax on tea. It's a shame to have this country.
On both sides, the Republicans and different Democrats in Washington live in a bubble. They have no idea what working class people go through. And I don't care what part affiliated with, that's just how it is. And don't tell me they don't get bought off, because I know better than that.
Well, Donnie, part of that is because we don't have any working men and women in Congress. They're all, you know, lawyers or doctors or Indian chiefs. You know, I mean, we have an opportunity to get one of our brothers in there. Not so long ago, John Gleason was considering it. And, you know, senator, he was a House rep and a senator, former county commissioner in Genesee County. He's currently the clerk in Genesee County. And he was considering running for Congress. And he tried to win or tried to get the nod, and they went with somebody else. And that would have been a great thing to have somebody in Congress actually work for a living. There's one other person, I think he's a pike fitter from Minnesota, that's in Congress. I mean, we need more of that. I said nobody. We do have one.
I did work with John at the truck plant.
Yeah, he's in skilled tradesmen. I know John real well. I've known him since 1976. John's a great guy. He came to me. He knew I was politically, even back then, politically connected. And he said, I bet you I can put on the back of a business card, I can put all 50 states in their capitals. And he bet me $20. Okay? And I said, yeah, you can't do that. I'll bet you that on the back of a business. You can't write that small. And about 45 minutes later, he comes up to me, you know, where we were at, and he's clamoring, I did it. Where's my $20? I said, let me see that thing. And by golly, he had written all of them down. He had them correct. And I give him his $20, and today that's like $100, so that people get a sense for that,
right.
Maybe a little more. But John's a good guy, man. He's a longtime friend of mine, and him and his wife, I know his whole family really well, dad. So they're good people, and I'll tell you, you're lucky to have him there in Genesee County, and I hope maybe he does eventually get a shot at Congress. I haven't talked to him in about a year, but what a good man. I've been blessed to work with him. One of the things that we work together on, so that you know, is to get original equipment parts as a policy that the county and the cities in both Genesee County and in Ingham County here, when they repair automobiles or other trucks, that they use original equipment parts, so that that keeps our parts plants and there are people making those parts in better shape. And John brought that idea to me, and we made sure that both counties passed, and God bless him for all the. That's just one project that he's worked on, but that's a notable one. So we do have some good people out there on our side, working men and women. But there's somebody to come right out of here, and he's also a AFL. He's a millwright with the AFL-CIO as well. So he's building trades. His cousin, Shorty Gleason, was the head of the building trades for the state of Michigan not so long ago. So. Yeah, just kudos out to John. If you're listening, John, shout out to you there, brother. Keep up the good work. So, and I want to get back to the subject of these trade agreements. There's one across the Atlantic too, Jeff, and I got some news on that. If you don't mind, I'll update the listeners. You probably already know, but let me update them if you don't mind. The TTIP. This is the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership suffered a major blow in Germany because the German Magistrates Association delivered a slap into the face of the European Union. Okay, they said that special courts allowing investors and corporations to sue national governments if their policies happen to threaten their profits, okay? They said it has no basis, and what they went on to say that the DRB, that's these German magistrates, sees neither a legal basis nor a need for such court action. The judges added that the assumption that foreign investors currently don't have an effective judicial effective judicial protection has no factual basis, and the establishment of these investment court system, that's ICS, that's part of this TTIP, is meant exclusively to protect investors. And they said this is a bad idea. I want to point out something else here. You don't see anything in here for protection of working men and women now, do you? No, we don't. We don't see anything for protection of working. They'd be out there standing on the highest hill. We would, all of us, touting that they're actually putting something in there to protect us. Now, who wants to have a trade agreement passed that has a special court assigned to it that can come in and sue any level of government should it affect their profits, or even they think that it affects threaten their profits. That's what it says. Policies that happen to threaten their profits in any township, county, state, federal government, any court system. Unbelievable that they would even consider putting that in one of these. Now, this isn't coming from our own country. This is melting down across the world. It's just falling apart at the seams. And you're seeing it. These good men and women, I don't know if there's women on this board, this magistrate board or not, good people over there in Germany have said this is not a good thing, and they've tried to stop it. So that's on the one across the Atlantic, Jeff. You know, so you were talking about the one across the Pacific, and Bob King supported that. You're exactly right. Bob King said, "Jeff, this is a good thing." He actually went and sat under a committee for a little while. Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. More, Jeff. I just wanted to jump in there. I didn't mean to jump on your
No,
report does.
You said it right.
I wanted to bring everybody up to date on that one. So
we have said it right too. Bob King, he was, to my knowledge, and we did some research that he was the only union president that wanted the Korea pact. He was the only one. He wanted TPP. He wanted all of that. And I don't know why. There had to be a reason why. I think there's a lot of Benjamins in a position that goes along with that. But that's only my guess.
Yeah. I would imagine so. We don't, nobody knows for sure, Donnie, but yeah. Something that he wanted. I know that there was some coinciding Labor Department issues that came directly after his meeting on the TPP. So I prefer not to go into that any further, but that we know for sure that there were decisions made by the NLRB within a couple of weeks after he was on that board and supported it. So you just wonder what was given up there. You know,
yeah,
just,
a
those
lot.
Are just facts. And those are facts, folks, and we got them. So don't go challenging us on that, because you get in the wrong thing there. You know, we will come out with that, and it won't look good for him. We won't
both
look good because we have those facts. Yeah.
Both sides are giving our country away a little piece at a time.
And the working men and women suppressing our wages, Donnie.
And yeah, and just, you know, we used to make TVs in this country. We used to make everything in this country. And we don't make, what do we make? Vehicles and what else? They send parts to us, we put them together, and they can stamp made in USA.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Something happened while we were sleeping, and we let it happen. Now we have to do something about it. And it goes in our union, too. In our union,
exactly.
We go to sleep and wake up, and we got a terrible agreement. We put the same damn people to go to the convention to nominate the president of the UAW, the same people I'm going for the man they want. They don't look at the facts. They don't care about the facts, because all they care about is a good cushy job in their plant. We two good people I know of. Scott was one of them. Terry Tobias was another one. Would have stood up and fought for what was right for the people, but of course they didn't win their election because it's a rigged situation. And if you don't realize that in 598, you're wrong. You don't know what the hell's going on. And that pisses me off, and I'm sorry, I get so upset when I hear people complain about their contract after they voted yes. Well, I read the little booklet they gave us. Oh my goodness, it just drives me. We didn't really believe you guys. Our union wouldn't lie to us. How many times we've heard that? Our union wouldn't lie to us.
All you got to do is read the highlights and then read the actual tentative agreement in the white pages, so-called white pages, and you can see in black letter print where they lied to you.
Right.
Directly or by a lie of omission. You know, they relieved, in 2011, they relieved General Motors from having to contribute to the pension plan anymore, and nobody said it. We caught it this cycle, contract cycle. Unfortunately, we didn't see it last time, but I wasn't on the show then. But it's still a sad state of affairs when they did that, and nobody knew it. They just slid it in, you know.
From the research department. Hold on for a second. This came out December 7, 2010, UAW president. Critics of the Korea Treaty don't represent workers, and that's Bob King. That was Bob King. But I know he was for it because he said he was for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was for it. Yeah, critics don't represent workers.
I'm reading it wrong. Okay. Yeah, I read it wrong. I apologize.
Yeah, he was criticizing other people that weren't for it.
Right. The progressives, right. I read it wrong. And Teresa, our research department, thank you very much.
Yeah, we got updated information. John Gleason is on the Facebook, but I'm not sure if that got posted on outright, but we got a PM on that. So John Gleason is on Facebook, and you can, if you're interested in watching what he's doing and following him, that's a good place to do that. What a wonderful family. You know, they're all, you know, his cousin's an iron worker. You know, these are tough people, man. They don't take no for an answer. You know, he just, then he was wanting to run for house rep over there, and our own UAW brethren stood in the way of that. Not just stood in the way, but spent a lot of money to destroy his good character, talking about Shorty Gleason, good man. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of AFL people, I said this a few weeks ago, that are mad at us for what we've been doing. And that's one thing that we should have never done. This good man should have had a fair shot at that house rep job, Shorty Gleason. And we didn't allow that to happen. He's one of us. Might not be carrying a UAW card, but he's a card-carrying, very good leader of the AFL-CIO building trades as an iron worker. And, you know, he's just a good man. I know a number of iron workers all around the state, and they don't come any better than Shorty. I've broken bread with him many times. Good man. So, and there's a number of others out there, too, just as good in the AFL-CIO. So, if you don't mind, fellas, I'll jump in here with another thing that we saw on the Solidarity magazine. By the way, Jeff, or anybody that's listening, I think they stopped putting the Solidarity magazine, I'm quite sure, in print. And it's in digital form now on the UAW.org. So if you're looking for it, you got to download it there. When mine came in this month, it came in Russian. So I had to go learn how to speak Russian to get it. So the second download came in English. So it's kind of funny. I'm not sure who they're communicating with, but still here in America, we speak mostly English, you know, but there are some other languages that get spoken there. But so let me just go through this briefly. On the finance report, I'll start from the top and hit the highlights here. The cash on hand increased by $1,062,984.92. That's cash on hand and in the banks. I'll round it a little bit here. That's $3,051,000. The investments, we lost $8 million, $8,022,000, again, rounded off, and that went from $324,000, and it went down to $778,302,000, approximately. So we lost about $8 million there. Accounts receivable went up by $3.969 million. and that's around 12.842 million right now. Mortgages receivable, that went down. We lost 671,459, currently due in is 1,817,000. Notes receivable, that went up by 481,000 from a 2,111,000, 2,592 is where it's at now. I don't want to run a bunch of numbers by you. Let me get to the highlights here. The building corporation lost 11.5 million from 133.7 down to 122, roughly two. It's 187. So the total assets now, we lost $14 million, almost $15 million, and went from 938 million to 923 million. And then we had some liabilities of 15 million, and that went down, so from 928 to 913. So that's our fund balance. To break out the accounts themselves, the general fund has 183.7. That's up by 19 million. Emergency strike fund is 114 million. That's up by 3.25 million. The strike and defense fund, formerly known as the strike fund, is sets at 590,224,988.12. Again, because that's an important number, I'll give you the whole one. 590,224,988.12. That was a loss from last year of 36,658, because a year ago it was total of $626 million. So that's big to the downside. Citizenship fund is down almost $1,000, sets at around 6,252. Education fund is down 87,000, currently from 100 and almost one down to 13,000. Rounding these, you can see these in the Solidarity Magazine on UAW.org to catch the pennies if you want it. Civil Rights Fund is down 62,281 from 77,800 down to 15,500. Recreation Fund is pretty healthy. It was 760,000 last time. It's 802, so it's up $42,662. Retired fund, retired workers fund, lost 1,556 from 15,800 down to 14,270, roughly. That's 14,270,000. The communication organization, education, and communication fund, also known as the OEC fund. A little bit of a slush fund for the IEB. That's at zero now, went to zero. And then that was 21,060.11. Not sure what they're doing with that. Looks like they might be disbanding that because of the new definition of the strike and defense fund. They can now use that money for anything they want. They used to take the interest off it, and that would go into OEC. A portion of the interest would go into the OEC fund, so that you know. And then the Regional Activities Fund lost $462,000, was $4.1 million, now it's $3.7 million, rounded. Councils Fund, this was an increase of $642,000, and that went from $4,900,000 approximately to $5,539,000. So, again, our total fund balance for the UAW, $913,220,459.44. You're seeing some changes in the way they report and how they're using their money here. because, as I pointed out, the Organizational Education and Communication Fund has been allowed to go to zero. And I believe that's due to the Strike and Defense Fund change in their purpose. And they had to get a new LLC or corporation to hold that. I mean, it's not all under UAW, but they had to rename the Strike Fund as the Strike and Defense Fund and get a new EIN number for that. So it's a separate entity. And I guess there was some discussion between them and the IRS on how that was being used. And that was the cause of that. So with that financial report out there, it's down by $15 million. And even though they had a dues increase in the beginning of last year, January, they still lost $15 million. So you kind of wonder who's running the ship there. It seems as though there's a lot of money being spent that even with their 25% dues increase is just not covering the freight here. So maybe they need to start acting like a union, and they can organize more unions and get more dues buying through them. You know, somebody asked me, what do you think about the dues increase? I said, well, you know, do your job, you know, organize more and get more wages. Okay. If you get a pay raise, then you get a dues increase. Do your job, IUAW, get pay raises that are compounded over time by their interest. You know, Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. You know, these guys just don't get it. Everybody should remember that's what Einstein said. Albert Einstein, the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. And that goes for your wages, too. Because if you get a 3% raise this time and you get another 3% raise next year, it doesn't just go up by 3%, it goes up by 103%. Okay?
Right.
In other words, the first increase is based on 100%. The second increase is based on 103%. And the next year will be on 106%. And it just compounds higher and higher. Ever increasing wages, ever increasing dues. It's real simple concept.
We're going to have to leave it this. We're running out of time, and our research department has reminded us Thursday is White Shirt Day. This coming Thursday, we'll wear your white shirt and be proud to wear it. For if you don't know what White Shirt Day is, please find out. I think you should know. So I'm not. I have about 90 seconds.
Well, listen to last week's show. We covered a pretty good last week's show, you know, so.
But thank you, Teresa, for everything. Have a great Super Bowl, everybody. I don't know if Scott has decided yet to go to work, but Teresa did want everybody to know that Thursday is White Shirt Day. Thank you from our research department. And then Jeff. Yes. Is Scott Dinkeldecker with us? I don't know. I have no idea where Scott went. Now, Jeff, do you have something to say before we adios?
No, just everybody have a safe night tonight. There's a lot of Super Bowl parties. Don't drive drunk. Enjoy the game and get home safe.
Absolutely. If you go out, drive careful, and so you can go to work tomorrow and make money to pay our pensions while we still. Scott, you're on. Oh, I can't. Scott, let me check the switchboard. He's on and he's not being. Yeah, we can't hear you, Scott. Hold on. Let me try this number.
Hello?
Scott.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, there you are. What'd you do? Up?
No, I did a while ago, and then I come back in because I was having a connectivity issue. Oh, okay. Well,
you got a lot. I research other things while you're doing that. I didn't know you weren't on. Go ahead, sir.
That's okay. Well, no, I'm glad you announced the white shirt. Everybody at 598 was given a new white T-shirt, so there's no excuse why not to wear one on Thursday. Of course, everybody should know that the white shirt represents that management's no better than us, and that went back to the 1937 strike. Other than that, I wish everybody have a good night. Enjoy the game, and like Jeff says, please don't drink and drive. There's just too much at stake now. It's too costly, and and we'll go from there because we're about out of time now.
And Scott, could you call me after the show, please? And I want to, on behalf of Jeff Brown, Leroy McKnight, and our host, Scott Shingledecker, we wish you a safe night, a safe week, and be careful and tell your friends about the show if you haven't already. And we'll see you next Sunday at 7 at our regular scheduled time at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.